Hi everyone, welcome to another Meditation Circle talk. Today I'm going to say something about hope and despair. Given that anicca, or impermanence, and change are primary conditions of existence, the potential for things to get better or worse is inherent in each moment. The future grows out of the present and the past. And our attitudes, intentions, and actions now will help in some way to determine what kind of future will emerge. Let us keep in mind that the dictionary definition of hope combines the sense of expectation and desire. These two aspects go together. We desire that something will happen, and we expect that it will. What connects desire and expectation is intention, aspiration, and action. If our collective desires and expectations are translated into intentions and actions, then our hopes may be realized. If not, we may well be disappointed. The fact that most people, hundreds of millions of people across the world, live together in peace gives me hope. Whatever is said about human beings being innately selfish, competitive, and destructive, the actual evidence of the generally peaceful, tolerant, and kind communal behaviour of the vast majority of people suggests to me that human beings are, in the main, innately sociable, cooperative, and kind. This gives me hope that the minority of people who behave selfishly and unkindly can be educated and encouraged to rediscover their innate, sociable, and peaceful nature. Certainly the Buddha seems to have taken this view, and his life's work could be seen as an attempt to help those who are deluded, greedy, and angry to rediscover the kindness, wisdom, and peace that is hidden within them. No doubt we're all born with a predisposition towards optimism or pessimism, towards hope or despair. But while recognizing and accepting that our predisposition leans one way or the other, we have a choice as to whether we identify with this tendency and succumb to it, or whether we learn to think and act in ways that transcend our predispositions. A predisposition towards pessimism can be overcome by learning and by making a conscious choice to act with optimism. When times are bad, we need to keep in mind that we can focus on small good things to help us keep going. Also, when times are good, it's always wise to keep in mind that the good times may not last forever. Pie in the sky over optimism can be as unhealthy and damaging as Eeyore-ish permanent pessimism. Delusion can take many forms. Peace of mind comes from keeping a balance between over-optimism and over-pessimism, and always remaining open to changes of fortune as they swing one way then the other. In my case, my family will know that while I sometimes give the impression of being pessimistic, deep down I have a predisposition towards hope and optimism. I tend to prepare for the worst, but feel optimistic about the future. These are tendencies that I recognise in myself, the result of innumerable causal conditions that gave rise to me. But whether or not I identify with the tendencies towards hope or despair within me is a matter over which I have some choice. There will be times, as with any human being, when either hope or despair gets the better of me, when I lose my balance and become overly despondent or unwisely hopeful. The Buddha advocated a middle way, a view of life that is balanced, realistic, and practical. Buddhists and Taoists tend to take the view that the natural or innate qualities of human beings are benign. The vast majority of people have an aptitude that is balanced towards tolerance, friendliness, selflessness, and cooperation, rather than intolerance, unfriendliness, selfishness, and competitiveness. These latter qualities are unnatural, out of balance, the result of delusion and insatiable desire. The ancient Taoist and Buddhist writers ascribe this imbalance towards negative qualities as being the result of harmful social conditioning and misguided beliefs and ideology. To return to a natural, balanced state of mind, we need to let go of or unlearn these harmful habits and delusions. Meditation, Zazen, and other practices are the means by which this rebalancing can be achieved. Many people would argue that this is too benign a view of human nature, given that, as a species, we seem unduly prone to aggression, selfishness, and competitiveness. But Taoist sages like Lao Tzu and Zhuang Zi, well aware of the warring competitiveness of their fellow human beings, often describing the social turmoil and conflicts of their own time in their writings, nevertheless suggest that this is largely caused by a minority of individuals and groups who have turned away from their natural condition, lost their balance, and find themselves in the grip of forces of greed, anger, and delusion. They have lost their way, and lost the way, the Tao. However, the potential to return to the way of nature, their natural state of balance, is always present in everyone, no matter how far they have strayed or how deluded and violent they have become. Through contemplation, non-attachment, and study, they can return to the way of harmony. The American philosopher and social activist Noam Chomsky writes, "Since oppression and repression exist, they are reflections of human nature. The same is true of sympathy, kindness, and concern for others. The task for society is to design the ways we live and the institutional and cultural structures of our lives so as to favour the benign and to suppress the harsh and destructive aspects of our fundamental nature." This view of Chomsky's seems to echo the Buddha's own views as articulated in the early Pali texts. The 2nd century Indian emperor Ashoka attempted to put his Buddhist principles into practice by developing a society that was built on an optimistic and hopeful view of human beings as being kind, cooperative, and peaceful. His reign is regarded as a largely benign and peaceful period in Indian history. As a final thought, I'd like to quote what Chomsky says at the end of his recent book, Optimism Over Despair. He writes, "We have two choices. We can be pessimistic, give up, and help ensure that the worst will happen. Or we can be optimistic, grasp the opportunities that surely exist, and maybe help make the world a better place." Not much of a choice. So I hope you find that this is of some interest and perhaps helpful in the future. Thank you for listening, and hope to see you or hear you again soon. Bye for now.